It is. Let's just pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we praise you once again this morning. We just want to come before you and say, dear Father, that you are everything to us. Sometimes we come along here on a Sunday morning and we actually wonder why we're here. Maybe it's just out of routine that we get up and we come. Maybe we come because somebody else is calling at the door and bringing us. But Father, I thank you that for whatever reason, you've brought us together this morning. And Father, it's no accident. It's absolutely no accident that we're all here together this morning. And we're looking at the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Robin had any inkling of what we're going to be looking at in the sermon this morning. I certainly haven't shared it with him. Not at all. And I had no idea what he was going to be singing about until we started singing. And indeed, I believe there are more songs yet to come, and I have no idea what they are. But this morning, we're going to be looking at your servant, your disciple John, and who it was that spoke to him and through him. And that was your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we're going to continue. Oh, what a blessing we have. We're going to continue to learn more about Jesus this morning. So be with us as if you're sitting there listening, help us to take it in. Help us to understand what it is that you have for us this morning. And if you're up on the platform here, Father, I pray indeed that you will lead me according to your word and according to your purpose. For Father, you don't want to, people don't need, don't want, don't have to listen to me. That's the worst thing they could possibly have. They need to hear from you this morning. And I pray indeed that's exactly what happens as we come together around your word. So bless us, I pray, now as we spend these next few minutes looking together at your gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, perhaps you'd like to turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. Be it electronic, be it paper, be it book, whatever it is, perhaps you'd like to do that. While I have a quick sweep. The Gospel of John, written, we believe, by the Apostle John around about AD 90 from Ephesus. You would have heard of Ephesus. And although his name is never mentioned as such, when we read through the book, there's various different references that make it very, very clear it was the Apostle John. Chapter 13, verse 23, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Chapter 20, verse 2, the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and the one reclining with him at the Last Supper. There can be little doubt that the author was the Apostle John. It was John who was trusted with the care of the mother of Jesus. Chapter 19, verses 26. It was John, he was the first of the disciples to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Chapter 20, verse 8. And he was first to recognize the risen Christ on the shore of Galilee. Chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. They're all those points are contained in this book, this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ. And as we read through the book, you will notice that there is a slight difference in the way in which this gospel is written compared to other gospels. Rather than a historical account of the incidents of the life of Christ in some sort of chronological order, the purpose of this gospel, stated very near the end of the book, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, is to present the signs and the wonders that Jesus performed to those who read it, so that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The whole purpose of writing this book is focused around that one point, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And all that we read here in all these chapters help us and point us to that very fact. Isn't that great? And it follows on directly from what Robin has been showing us this morning. How great our God is. Each of the incidents recorded in the gospel is specifically included to prove that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Next slide, please. We start off, and the next one, with John's witness. John wants us to view his gospel as a very personal testimony of all that went on, all that he saw, all that he heard, all that he touched, and all that he believed. And that is why this book is so relevant to us today. It's not just some theological thesis written to be hidden away in a reference book and never to be read, but just referred to. It is something live. It's about how he felt. It's about how he touched. And it's about how he received from God. Just read those first few verses of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has no power over it. When I put these slides together, I thought, how do I show that the darkness has no power over the light? And that's what I've tried to do. On the one hand, you've got the darkness, but in through it is the light of Jesus Christ. And then on the other side, you just have the text. The darkness, the chaos, which you could define as that water that John walked on. The chaos, if you take your eyes off of Jesus, you will sink. But with your eyes fixed on Jesus, you can walk on the water and you can walk in the light. Much has been said and written about these words that I've just read, so I won't dwell in them too long, except to say it is no accident that the first few words are the same as the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning. John wants us to realize that the Word, Jesus, is God. And he was there at the very beginning, before the world began. It was through him, that everything was created, including that bright, amazing sunrise we had for almost a minute this morning. Colin and I saw it, didn't we, Colin? Can't see Colin. Yes, we saw it. It depends what time you got up, but if you blinked, you missed it. But there was a sunrise, and it was brilliant. It didn't last long. And Jesus was right there in the creation of the world. Next slide. John moves on to John the Baptist's witness, the true light. And we're going to try a little experiment here this morning. I'm going to call Dave up now. And we're just going to go through these next few verses. They should appear on the screen behind us. And we're going to try and do it in such a way as to not make it sound too long-winded. Dave, you might need the mic.
John's witness, the true light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word becomes flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying,
"This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him."
Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed,
"I am not the Christ."
And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said,
"I am not."
"Are you the prophet?" And he answered,
"No."
Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said,
"I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord."
Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying,
"I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose."
These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said,
"Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It is he whom I said comes after me, a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came, baptizing with water."
And John bore witness, saying,
"I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So that is the testimony of John the Baptist, the word that dwells among us, verse 14. The Christ who is everlasting throughout eternity, verse 15. Of himself he is not the Christ, only the forerunner of the Christ, verse 20. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Two quick points. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Brothers and sisters, this sums it all up for me. This is the whole reason for me reading this book, listening to what John had to say. It is this that makes it personal to me. Let me explain. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with the Wednesday group how God first spoke to me. I've not got time to go through that everything again today, except to say Father had clearly shown to me that he was real and that he was interested and he was listening to me. I couldn't deny it. Up to then, my going to church is just, would you believe it, simply been following a girl. But from that moment on, it was different. How should I respond to God's call upon my life? What should I be doing? How could I progress? Oh, of course I prayed. For the first time in my life, I prayed. But I knew nothing. So the next week, I still went to church on that Sunday. It was a Methodist church. Quite frankly, brothers and sisters, it was as dead as a dodo. And you wouldn't expect to hear the gospel. Sometimes you never heard the scriptures. I didn't know any better. Had a nice copper roof, I remember that. But on this particular Sunday, there was a visiting preacher. An old, wise father. We called him Father. They have strange names and addresses for people in the Methodist Church. He was called Father. I can't remember his name. It's terrible, isn't it? I can't remember his name. He was an elderly gentleman, probably about my current age. I have no idea what scripture it was he was preaching from. I can't recall. In fact, I don't think I ever recalled it. All I do remember, there was something about candles. And I don't know why, but they were there, and I don't remember the details. But what I do remember was how he described Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and how he died. He died for sinners such as me. It was these thoughts that were very real, were very opportune, were very needy for me. This old guy, I don't know his name, I don't know his age. He's probably with the Lord now. Probably been with him for years. But God used him to speak to me. And I knew that if I was going to be serious about God, if I really wanted to be right with him, that I could not, I dare not, I can in no way neglect what was being said about Jesus. Do you get the point? God was reaching down to me. First of all, he reached down to me in showing me of his existence, and then finally of how I could build upon that and move on from that. Verse 32 is another key verse in this testimony of John the Baptist. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. The other Gospels talk of hearing of a voice declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3. Here we have a clear, unequivocal statement from the Father. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." What more do we need, brothers and sisters? What more do we need? John is building the picture here in this very first chapter about exactly who Jesus is and why he is so important to each one of us and how we need to respond to him. What more do we need? And this book, as we go through it, and we will be going through it, not just through me, you'll be pleased to hear, but through others too. This book, as we go from time to time, we will dip into it over the next few weeks. You will see just how Jesus changes everything. Absolutely everything. And that he can mean everything to you. Slide 5. The witness of the other disciples. The chapter concludes with the calling of some of the other disciples. I'm not going to read it. You'll be pleased to hear. Notice the sort of wording, though, that they use amongst themselves and the excitement building in their voices as they describe this stranger whom they've only just met. Verse 38, somebody calls him rabbi. He's a teacher. There's no escape. You will have heard that before. Somebody else says, verse 41, "We have found the Messiah." The Jews have been looking for their Messiah for almost 400 years. "We have found him." Verse 45, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about." And Nathanael, who we don't read much about, said, verse 45, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Can you see that the truth was sinking in amongst this group of people? This group of people who we call the disciples. This group of people who ultimately were going to change the world. The authorities, they tried their best to silence them. They even killed Jesus. But that was not the end, that was just the beginning. Just the beginning. And these men, they turned the world upside down. And Jesus continues to turn the world upside down. He will turn your life upside down. He will turn my life upside down. Oh, brothers and sisters, if this is all new to you and you, like me, want to know more, please speak to somebody before you leave here today. It really is important to speak and to learn more about this Jesus. I'm just scratching the surface. I'm not even really doing that. I've got a whole chapter, 50 odd verses to cover in about 15, 20 minutes. I think we've nearly done it. But what I'm trying to say to you this morning is there isn't just... Well, there is the beginning of something very special here. So special. For those of you who already know about Jesus and want to share more with John and with the other disciples of this truth, this closeness, even this excitement, then think about this verse. Last slide. Commit it to memory and watch Jesus begin to move in your life. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the chance of just sharing these few thoughts with my brothers and sisters this morning. I thank you, first of all, for the way in which throughout history you have used these words to touch so many hearts through the ages. And I thank you for the truth that they contain, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, your dear Son, the one who died that we might have life, and life abundantly. So be with us now as we move on in our service, perhaps to listen more about this strange man that we'd never heard much about before, or indeed this guy we've been following for years, and help us just to be more open, leading and dedicated to his call upon us. Father, we would see Jesus high and lifted up, that his train would fill the temple.